Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Autonomy, the show about sovereignty. This is the late night edition. We just want to do a little bit of a bottom line here from the Friday 10th of February, coming into Saturday the 11th of February, the third weekend of the convoy here in Ottawa. Ontario, Canada, the capital of Canada, seriously turning into the biggest truck stop in the world. With me here is a local senior who has been on Wellington today in the market and some other areas, and he's going to give us a little bit of a lowdown. And on my other side, I have... I didn't ask you where you're actually from, but I think you're local from Ottawa as well, are you not?
From British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Yeah.
So a very far cry away.
I need a favor quickly, guys. I need you to take a picture. I want you to read something, and then I want you to take a picture of it, because I'm going to put it on mainstream.
We're live on the radio right now.
So oh, shit, I thought you said, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Can you give us 10 minutes?
Yeah, just let me know. I need a picture.
Yeah. Okay. We take many, many pictures.
I need it before I send it off.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, is there any discussion about this?
I guess. I have no idea. Is it something we need to read eventually?
Well, I want to, like, read everything and do everything. I just thought we'd do this really quickly. So, from British Columbia... Countryside or
Fraser Valley.
Yeah. Fraser Valley.
Lots of farmland.
Very nice.
Yeah. Raspberries.
And then just tell us really quickly what you do here, how you spend your day at the camp. Shouldn't call it a camp because it's always kind of moving.
It's a moving conflagration of many different kind of people. It's an interesting place to take part in, for sure. Last night was interesting, walking down up and down the streets from 1 till about 9, and then after that I slept for an hour or two, walked around a bit more, talked to some interesting people, walked up to Parliament there, went to the stage, walked back. There was a trucker breakfast up there that I had. It was wonderful. I think the woman that was cooking it, she had an accent. I think she was Australian. I didn't ask her though. She was very sweet. Yeah. She had her husband there and her kid. Bacon and eggs, bread, coffee. The little girl was making coffee. I don't recall her name though, but she was very sweet. Walked back and then started getting food ready for this evening. It was absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Lots of people came in. Lots of interesting vibes. Lots of diversity.
And when you say getting food ready,
mm-hmm.
You mean you're doing like chores here? You're preparing food, you're sorting food, you're serving people? What are you doing?
Basically all of that, yeah. Yeah, sorting, getting food out, cooking food. Sort of every day is different, so it's very stimulating in that sense that, you know, it's... You have something presented before you, and you have to make it happen for that just that time, and it's very real, you know.
All right. I'm sure there's lots more volunteering that everybody is involved here. I'm just going to leave it at that for the moment and ask Brian on my other side about his experiences. You were mainly on the hill as well, on the parliamentary hill, which is beyond.
No. And so, at the camp by the, what's the street?
Coventry.
Coventry. I was at the Coventry encampment, and it was a lot of fun. Met a lot of people. A lot of Quebecois. Quebecois, Ontario people, and people from BC and Southern Ontario. Some really interesting people. I walk in, a lady grabs me and says, "Would you like something to eat?" And I look around and there's like five tables piled with food. And so, you know, I wasn't hungry, but I had a little a little snack. And then she told me all about this. The people of Ottawa donated so much food, they didn't know what to do with it. So they went to the shepherds, they went to four or five of the local places where they look after street people and stuff, and they wouldn't let them in. The COVID scare or whatever, or they're unvaxxed or some nonsense. Now you're giving food away, good food away, because you have too much, and you're donating it to people that need the food, and especially the people on the street, and they wouldn't because of some divide and conquer nonsense. You know, you're the good guy, I'm the bad guy. So they didn't know what to do with the food, so they called the women's shelter, and they said, "Bring it on, you know, bring it all over."
Yeah.
So they brought, they couldn't take it all. They took like a truckload of it, and they said, "Well, we can't take any more, it's gonna spoil." So this is a really good example of good and bad. The truckers were willing to donate this food, and they were willing to donate it to people who really needed it. And the whole play on this whole game that they're playing, the government, Big Pharma, is to play us against one another. This is a typical example of the tyranny that is going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the bad guy, and I'm the good guy. It's sad. It's sad. And so many good people with good hearts wanting to help. Couldn't believe it. That's one story.
One.
The other one, I'm standing there having a coffee, and this lady comes up to me and says, "I love your hat." Great. So she's a pretty lady, you know, I want to talk to her. And she says, "You're either a musician or an artist." I said, "You're right." And then she says, "Which one?" And I said, "I'm a musician." She says, "Well, I'm an artist from Montreal, and I had to come here." She's about maybe in between 40 and 50. Really interesting. So we spent about an hour talking, and she says, "I can't believe what's going on in my home province of Quebec. It's like a third world dictatorship." Mm-hmm. All the bars are closed, yeah. The ones that haven't gone bankrupt, and on and on and on. It was really neat experience. And I really enjoy seeing all the people from the different provinces getting together on the same boat. It's really heartwarming.
Yeah, a lot of glowing hearts.
I see people stand around in groups sporting the same language, let's put it that way. And then there's these troops of the other languagers passing through, and then everybody just kind of like cheers out at each other when they cross paths, and then everybody engages in this, you know, just like being so happy to be there together in all of their differences. Yes. And just pulling on the same side of the rope for once, you know. And they are so happy about that. Everybody is so consciously happy about bridging this divide for one time and coming together and talking to each other, you know, instead of only the representatives telling us what we should think about each other, you mm-hmm. know. Did you want to add any of your experiences of that same day today? For example, to serve food and hot beverages must also give you a lot of insights into people's circumstances.
Yeah, so many people all the time that it does fatigue me. So sometimes I just give the food and hope they'll go away.
But that's not why people really come there. Huh? Everybody wants to talk a little bit or not.
Everybody wants to talk a little bit. And when it does start talking, then it is interesting. Just to see who this person is, you know, where did they come from? What are they doing here? And exercising trust as well as awareness. You know, it's an international, worldwide event. And then there is a good and there is a bad. And there are people that do have
mental issues
or an aptitude for intelligence, I mm-hmm. guess, and
closely related often.
If it is segregation and trying to aggravate people and stuff, but where does that all lead? And so it's very interesting to see just the people in the streets and how humanity's feeling after these last 2 years of what's happened in people's lives and hearing their stories mm-hmm. and it's just I don't know. It's such a awe-inspiring thing to have that piece of humanity come back into people's lives.
That is so true. It is so awe-inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I spent some time standing around there talking to the wonderful people and I don't know, keeping myself going with the things that were available.
Yeah.
And there were lots of things available. First and foremost, I should mention this wonderful drink that you made me with peppermint tea and apple cider vinegar and honey.
Delicious.
That was so good. Mm-hmm. I had never thought of that combination even. And then the whole place, you understand, is kind of like a screening center. It's kind of like a front desk and backstage at the same time. So you have a way of accosting people, right?
Accosting people. Mm-hmm.
You have a way of people accost the place without imposing
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting what role these food places have, you know. People meet. People eat, people meet.
Yeah.
You're telling me. You know how many restaurants and bars the city used to have? And this whole game they're playing, it's got nothing to do with any kind of virus. It's they want to bankrupt everything. They want the Chinese social credit system. They don't want any cash. And they want everybody to be subservient. And unhuman. So as soon as you take that mRNA, you're not considered a human anymore. You have no human rights. And I can't tell you how many good restaurants there used to be here in Ottawa, and small bars was hundreds of them. There's none now. None. And you think that's by accident? Not a chance. It's a plan. They want to bring it all down so they can just... It's like a boa constrictor. He grabs you by the leg. And he holds you there so you can't move. And then he lets up a little bit. Because he needs to get his strength back. But he's still got you. Like summer was open, then they put the clamp on you right after
mm-hmm.
at Christmas, a little bit tighter, and they'll let up a little bit, and then they keep squeezing. That's what's going on now. We're right at the wall, and if we don't do this every day, we're done. I hate to be sound gloomy, but we got to stand up now. Mm-hmm. I met a man last night. I was walking back to my car, and there was this 60-year-old black man and four or five white people, and they had a camera, and they wanted the picture taken. So the guy handed it to me walking by, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I take the picture. Typical older people, one picture, and they wanted to disperse. And I said, hold on, back up. I can't have one. Let me take about 10, then you can pick it up. So they were all happy and yah, yah, yah. So me and the black man are walking, and he asked me, he said, what do you do? He said, you look like a artist or a musician. I said, yeah, I'm a musician. He said, I'm a musician. I said, what country are you from? He said, I grew up in Cuba. I said, you want to tell me about that? He said, I escaped when I was 20.
Wow.
He said, I know about tyranny. He said, Cuba is horrible, was horrible, still is horrible for the people. He said, I know what tyranny is. He said, I have 6 children. That's why I'm here, and I ain't stopping. He said, I escaped to Russia just at the time Perestroika came along. He said, in 2 days, Russia went from communism to an open country. And he said, I love Russia. And he said, I had so much fun. I partied my face off, chased every one of those beautiful Russian girls until I found my wife. And he said, then I moved here to Canada. I said, man, you know, so we traded things, you know, and he showed me some of the guitar things he does, traditional Cuban music, and good, the real traditional. And then we talked, and as we're leaving, a homeless man, really rough-looking homeless man, is walking right up to us. So both of us at the same time turned to him, and I said, do you need something to eat? Are you hungry? You all right? And the Cuban guy said, God bless you, give me a hug. And he hugs the guy, and the guy's got long hair and a big beard and really scruffy looking. And then he looked at me, and he had a big smile, and his eyes, you could see the intelligence. And he said, no, I'm all right. He said, I'm fine, and I'm not hungry. And he just stopped us in our tracks, because we thought this guy was down on one knee, and he looked scruffy. But there was 50 people who walked by that man and looking at their cell phones or looking at their new little goofy looking clothes that people wear today, you know, and nonsense. None of them paid any attention to him. And I looked at the Cuban guy, and the Cuban guy looked at me, and he said, we didn't meet by accident. You wonder, eh? Vibrations. It was really interesting. This whole week and a half has been really, really enlightening. And enlightening in a lot of ways. It's glad exciting. I'm here.
It's exciting.
Brian's been making me this sign, which is now a real privacy bonus.
Oh yeah, it slips right in the window.
I just want to add a story also today. This is a bit of a bummer, but it's noticeable and it's noteworthy, I think, to mention this story because this is a very vicious aspect and it's very heartbreaking that it goes down and plays out in this way, because it illustrates how this regime manages to re-traumatize generation after generation anew.
Yeah.
So you always have a broken people, and broken people are the easy people to direct, you know? So at a place where I slept 4 nights now in the convoy, I think. Wait a minute. Yeah, 4 nights. And as I try to explain, vehicles are always moving around. There's some vehicles going, some vehicles coming. It's a bit different every night. And in one of these locations, I got a talk with the residents in. And that happened by the occasion of them coming out smoking a cigarette and then explaining to me that they pulled their child out of school because it was insomniac because of the honking of the trucks. And then they finished smoking their cigarette on the porch and went back inside with a mask on. And also said, you people are probably spreaders, COVID spreaders. There's a lot of COVID going around. And Brian, it was just mean, you know, because they were miserable. Obviously, they were not doing well, you know, and they were completely ignorant about what was being done to them.
Yeah.
Probably both having had the injections, you know.
Yeah.
And I just looked down on the street and I felt like that makes me feel like a loser, because despite all my brilliance, and I can see through these things, but I cannot make other people see them.
No.
And that's the real art form, you know?
No. You can, the old country song, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah, it's sad. I met a trucker yesterday, and we just actually bumped into each other, and both laughed and said, okay, you win. And I said, where are you from? He said, I drove up here from Muskoka. You know where that area is?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he said, I have four young children and a wife. And he said, I have a good business, of big house, and I own a couple other houses. And he said, I have four children, and I've done my homework. There's absolutely no way in the world those children are going to school with a mask on. When you're 5 to 7 or 8 years old, that's the most important time in your whole life, maybe from 3 to about 7. Most important, man. I'm looking at him, you know, biker looking guy with a beard and kind of scruffy with his, what you use to drive a rig, you know.
Yeah.
You don't get dressed up in a suit. But anyways, and you could see the pain in the guy's eyes. He said, and he's done his homework. I'm here, and if half of Canada doesn't show up, I'm taking my family and I'm heading for Mexico.
Oh.
If I have to swim with my kids.
Mm.
And then there's the other, I would say, 60% of Canadians, 80% Ottawa, Ottawa's brain dead. But it's controlled. It's controlled division in religion, division in education. The government divides you. Everything is planned. And the average person can't see that. Oh, I got to do this. You never think about why you have to do that to keep my job. You got to be ratting out on people or snitching. They turn you into a little weasel instead of standing up and seeing what it is. I can't be part of this. And those people are miserable.
Yeah.
They're miserable people, and they don't know why.
Yeah, it's very hard to interact with those people because they're so just lost in their frustration and trying to find an avenue where to put it. They're very confused, and they don't see. It's very difficult to. I had a lady today, as it was earlier in the morning, and she was walking and she was just yelling a bunch of stuff, and she said, "We love you." That's, you know, you can't really talk to me. We couldn't try, but it just didn't work. And she continued down and she started yelling at somebody else, really trying to understand her life here. And it's, since being here, it's been difficult to go and find those people. I've actively sought out to go and interact with those people and really try to understand the life that they have here and try to get some sort of conversation and try to understand what they're thinking. And it's been difficult. Most of the locals, the majority of the locals that I do speak with and interact with, they're very happy that these truckers are here. A few of them have said, you know, wish they would have been a bit more respectful and stuff, and that's in comparison to the horns honking mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and it is loud and there's diesel fumes, and I don't know the demographic exactly of all of the government buildings to apartments closer to Parliament, but there are locals here that are very thankful for what's happening, and there's also that obviously oppose it as well. I think the important thing is it's for all of those opinions to be validated and to be accepted and to be talked about and not to be separated by that opinion. I think my personal thing is to just throw just a little line, be like, oh, come over here, like, what's over here, like not to be confrontational, because once then it separates more, it's just more of a easy, like, okay, see you later, have a good day, that sort of thing, you know, just to ease them, just a small breath, and hopefully that's something that, you know, a breeze that's able to, that they feel, and that they can acknowledge, and then maybe a few days or whatever later, that's something that'll sort of settle in their mind, and counteract sort of these last 2 years.
Yeah,
that's been my thing here, is finding diversity in those people and hopefully giving them a place to feel acknowledged and heard in the best way that I know how.
Sound like a psychologist, man, or some mind expert. Anyways, when you decided you were going to come here in British Columbia, what made you take that decision? What was the deciding point in the waging of reasons for coming or not coming?
To coming to Ottawa?
Yes.
I came from Quebec City. I was originally in, anyways.
So you're not originally from British Columbia?
Originally from British Columbia.
You are?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because a lot of people say the vibe in British Columbia is completely different. I mean, mm-hmm. Ottawa is its own little animal for that matter, but mm-hmm. British Columbia is really a lot more chill, a lot more relaxed than the rest of Canada. Would you confirm that? And did you think that was going to play a role in your experiences here?
Being from British Columbia?
Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah. I definitely do have, I have a very, very strong roots in being, yes, I'm from British Columbia. I don't know what it is about it. It's just perhaps, I don't know. Yeah, I grew up in Alberta for a bit as well, but sorry, what was your question?
If you like, were you musing like what your experiences were going to be like here? What were your expectations like? And do you think it's a typical West Coast, East Coast experience here, or what do you think it is? Well, maybe your impression is that people really leave all this cliche behind and just try to find out more about each other. This is what I'm seeing happening. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have fear and uncertainty. And I think that directs a lot of their decisions and their ability to go out and experience new things. I don't know if that's from the mandates or if that's just people being people. I personally love to just be alone in nature. That's what I want to do. And so feeling like that's being slowly taken away from me. I don't know where interprovincial travel will go and stuff like that. But for me to keep traveling and documenting anthropods, which is really what I just want to pursue, I can't let that go. So that's why I'm here, and I'm trying to find my place in all of this, as I presume everybody else is, even if it's just walking down the street and giving a high five. That's an interaction right there. You have that sound of the hands and the collecting of voices in a positive way, and I think that's something that just it does make a difference if people are talking about vibrations and those sorts of things. And a lot of people have experienced it here, is that, you know, people haven't met, like, that they've met for a reason here, and I've heard multiple people say that, and it's very intriguing, and it's, I hope a lot of other people can experience that sensation. Yeah.
Did you feel the cold?
I really love winter, so
yeah.
It feels good to be cold and to have that frigid lung. I don't know.
How about you? How are you coping with the chill? Yeah.
It's damp. It's typical Ottawa Valley weather.
Yeah.
Damp. It's like a swamp.
Lately, we've been having a little bit of a Chinook break almost. It was plus degrees, and then it just got below zero in the night.
We don't get the Chinooks here.
I know that.
We get the Gulf Stream.
I'm just joking. I'm trying to sound like a cool person. I like saying the word, though, Chinooks.
Yeah, Chinooks come over the Rockies.
Have you seen a Chinook, Arch?
I can't really say that, no. I've never been there. Like, I've never gone there.
Yeah.
But I feel that we're getting these breaks here in Ottawa, and that usually is in January and February when it's otherwise frigidly cold and dry cold. Mm. So it's like really hard to breathe also because there's no humidity in the air. And then you get 2 or 3 days of plus degrees and you start to breathe again, you know, you're stopping being totally, like, your sinuses free up a little bit and all that, you know. So that's why I'm really grateful for that. I'm very much feeling the weather. I guess that's like more when you like have more years already around this globe, then you're getting a little bit more sensitive to it, I guess. But I found it quite noteworthy to have one weather in the downtown, no wind, and then march up to the hill and it's like minus 20 lower than that, you know. Crazy differences within the city. Well, it just feels like that. I don't know.
No, you get the vortex around the big buildings, and you're right by the river, and there's 2 or 3 levels of tunnels that you're walking on down there, and you have no idea how long them tunnels are. They've been there for a long time. They dug a whole bunch of new ones too.
Wow.
It's a really uncomfortable area. When it's cold, it's damp. When it's damp, it's even worse. When it's 80 degrees in Ottawa in the summertime, it's like New Orleans. It's heavy. And besides that, it's the most unexciting city in North America.
Yeah, you made it a whole lot more interesting. That is for sure.
I need one of those fans.
Yeah, me too.
Not a,
buy me one too,
I don't want a Mercedes.
I was so hoping you wouldn't say the company, though.
I want a Ford.
Because we're live.
Yeah. I want a Ford at about one quarter of the price.
That's true, though.
And you can get parts for them.
That's really bad, but it's really true, so maybe it should be said. Well, gentlemen, I'm feeling that was most enjoyable. If you have anything to add, please feel free to knock yourself out. Otherwise, I would pull it short. Anything to add?
It's been a wild ride, and it's been absolutely great. That's all I can really say. Yeah, the good, the bad, everything in between. I think that's something that people have to be able to accept and to realize that that is reality, and it is okay to feel everything that's brought before you and to let it run its course.
Where are you going to be tomorrow?
I'm thinking to repair a piece on my van tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to limp the van somewhere outside of town. I'm not sure where. It's going to happen tomorrow morning, and it's going to be just as stimulating as every single day. That's
might be able to help you out with that. And you're aiming for like joining the convoy in the night then?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. If everything goes smoothly, be back here, back in the spot, and hopefully do some filming in the night.
Speaking of van and seeing it's Canada and it's actually winter,
mm-hmm.
Did you insulate that rig a little bit?
It's a little insulated.
Oh, yeah? What did you use? Wool insulation?
No, I never thought of using wool insulation. I used...
That seems to be like the last hippest thing to buy a...
Some
natural wool, kind of, it's not stuffing, it's more like a mat, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
So you just roll it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I always wanted to do like a big rug, a big heavy rug.
Yes, exactly.
Or something like that. That would be nice.
What kind of insulation do you have?
It was, maybe a half inch, an inch thick, and then you drop it a little bit lower from the ceiling so you have the little pocket of cold air that reflects it back out. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But it's due for a rebuild this season coming up. And do the inside again.
Yeah. I think I would do that too. Get a new van and do a really good insulation job because it's going to keep it cool in the summer too,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Brian, would you like to add anything, my darling?
Spray foam. Open the thing up and spray it.
Spray foam.
That's a really good idea,
you
too.
You can make your bed and your storage out of the spray foam and then just cut it out how you need it.
It's wonderful stuff.
That would be quite a build. That
people
would be original.
People are
yes.
outside of the box. I can tell you all, this is Maren Moltan for Autonomy, the show about sovereignty, and the cat is out of the box here in Ottawa, Ontario, the capital of Canada, turning into the biggest truck stop in the world. This was a late night preview because we are all getting ready for the third weekend of the convoy. Wish us luck and celebrate with us here in Ottawa.